Chapter 1, or no, we don't want to go back. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3 is the children are dismissed to children's church. And by the way, is the temperature good in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I got a yes. Not too cool? Okay. We have new thermostats, so we're trying to figure them out. I'm trying to figure them out, and I don't know how to, anyway, they're digital, and they're just too far advanced for me to just look at it and figure it out. So I got a manual. I'm going to work on it. We're going to get there. And anyway, and Candace, if it shuts off, that means something I didn't set right. Candace knows more about it than me, so she and I were working on it the other night. I came over here early, turned it on, because I didn't know how to set the schedule yet. And then I come back at a little before 9, and the thing had gone off. So I don't know what I did wrong, but I did something wrong where it went back to off, because anyway. Okay, we are at 1 Peter chapter 3 and let's start with verse 17, 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for, wait a minute, am I? No. Okay. Jim, I caught something from you at Sunday school. He was talking about how his mind wasn't going right. This is what I've been working on. The passage I was just starting to read, I've been working ahead. And so in my mind, that's what I'm preaching today. But that has nothing to do with what I'm preaching. We aren't even in 1 Peter. How about that? It's Mother's Day. So let's take a break from 1 Peter. So let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather together this morning. We pray your blessing upon us. We pray you'll just speak to our hearts, and may your name be honored. May you be glorified and exalted, Lord. May our hearts be drawn ever so closer to you, Lord. May we be faithful. Help us, Lord, if we have wandered astray, to come back to where we ought to be, to repent of our sins and trust in Jesus Christ and live for him and honor him. So have your way now. Encourage us, exhort us, and may Christ be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, because Scripture is so saturated with the faith and courage of men who we think of as great heroes of the faith, men like Job, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, Josiah, Hezekiah, and Daniel, and others, we are sometimes almost taken by surprise when we come across a great woman of faith. But we shouldn't be surprised. For God used the great women of faith to accomplish his will and to glorify his name, as well as he uses men. And we're familiar with the men who were great pioneer missionaries of years gone by. Men like William Carey and Adoniram Judson, David Brainerd, Hudson Taylor, Jim Elliot, and a host of others. But don't forget Elizabeth Elliot, and Mary Slessor, and Amy Carmichael, and Gladys Alward, and the wives of so many missionary men. Now, it seemed to me that men dominate the Scriptures because the men were the ones chosen by God to be the leaders. Okay? Not only of the home, but of kingdoms and peoples and nations. God used men like Noah to save the human race from extinction. It was Abraham through whom would come the nation of Israel. God would use King David to establish and lead the nation of Israel. He would use men to be his spokesman and preachers and miracle workers like Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos. But you know what? We also read of the frailties and failures and sins of great men, which remind us that they are only human after all. Remember Noah and his drunkenness? Abraham and his deceit, Moses and his anger, David and his adultery and murder. But you know, we don't read so much of the sins and failures of women of faith. I mean, we do, but at least in my mind, not so much. They're there recorded for us, and yet I think of Ruth, of whom we see no failure. As far as I know, we really don't read of much failure anyway. And we see no, or Esther, a shining example of faith and courage, untainted by sin. And Hannah, praying in the temple without a taint of selfishness or pride, just a humble wife crying out in faith to God to give her a son. And it's beautiful. Unless we think that God looks lightly upon women and their faith and trust in him as well as their boldness in coming to him, look with me at Matthew 15. Now we'll get to a passage. Matthew 15, where we see the Lord Jesus purposely pointing out the faith and confidence not only of a woman, but the faith of a woman who is from a not so acceptable heritage. A Gentile woman of all people, a Canaanite, in other words, a dog. She was considered to be like a dog. Or we might say in somewhat vulgar language today that she was just trash. That's what they would have said of her. She was just trash. And yet we see our Savior admire and use her and exalt her as an example of great faith. And so you can have great faith, right? You can be a woman of faith. That's my message to you ladies this morning. And men, you men can be men of faith. You women can be great women of faith. Number one, we see here a woman's persevering faith in the woman of Canaan. We say a woman's persevering faith. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She's oppressed, severely oppressed with a demon, one version has it. But he answered her not a word. Isn't that interesting? He answered her not a word. End of story. Let's go to the next one, right? No, it's not the end. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. In other words, she's trash. Don't bother with her. But he answered and said to her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that beautiful, O woman? Great, great. And when Jesus Christ says, great is thy faith, you mark it down. This woman's faith was great. It was absolutely amazing. And you too can be a woman of great faith. I mean, just look at this woman of faith who will not let go of Jesus Christ, who will not be persuaded to give up her quest for the healing of her daughter who is vexed with the devil. She was vexed with a demon. She is being severely tormented by demonic possession, and there is only one. Only one who can heal her daughter, and save her, and this mother knows it. And so what she knew, she cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord. Why did she say on me? because she took her daughter's vexation as her own, as we do, right, parents? As you do, right, Mom? When your child hurts, you hurt. You hurt tremendously. What a cry of faith and trust. What boldness. What courage for her to do this. Whereas she's not even to be able to approach Jesus because she's a woman. And on top of that, she's a Gentile woman. Again, she was a dog. It's not fit to take crumbs from the, or not fit to feed the dogs, is what Jesus said. So he was calling her a dog. But the Lord doesn't answer her initially. He doesn't even answer her. Because he's going to prove her faith and test her faith. And you know what? She will pass the test. Why? Because she's a woman of faith. She's a woman of faith. A Gentile woman. You know, apart from the nation of Israel. And yet what faith we see in her. And so the Lord doesn't answer her. And then the disciples tell him to get rid of her. Send her away. She's a pest. She's an embarrassment. That's how they really look to her. This is embarrassing to have this woman crying out to our Lord. And then when the Lord does answer her, he basically tells her that she's not qualified to receive help. That's quite an answer. Talking about Jesus being willing to help us and heal and save, he puts her off. Isn't that fascinating? Because he was sent to the Jews, and she's not a Jew. But you know what? She will not be dissuaded. Now, I know the Lord has a plan in all of this. He's working out his plan. But she's not going to be dissuaded. She will not give up that easily because she is a woman of faith who knows how to weather the storms of doubt and discouragement in trying times. Do you? Do you know how to weather the storms? You need to know how. You say, well, I'm discouraged, I'm distressed, I'm depressed. Then get up. Just get up and get going. Right? Do the next thing. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We have no excuse. Yeah, we're going to get discouraged. I sure do. But we don't need to live down there. I go down in my basement to get things sometimes, but I don't live there. Right? I don't live there. Some of us live in the basement. She was not going to do it. She knew how to weather the storm. In verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. I love that. She worshiped him. In her request was worship, and so it is with you and me. We can worship the Lord when we come to him. She worshiped him. Lord, help me. Isn't that neat? For me to cry out in faith and say, Lord, help me. That is worship. That is deemed to be worship by our Lord. And sometimes that's the best prayer we can pray. It's just, Lord, help me. Sometimes we need to say, Lord, help. Sometimes just one word will do. Help. Help. When you're really in distress, that's what you do. Help. You cry out, help, help, help. And we can do that. And the Lord is honored by that. What perseverance. What simple faith. And how we need that kind of faith. Lord, help me. But verse 26. But he answered and said, it's not fitting. It's not meat, not fit to take the children's meat, children's bread, and cast it to God. To dogs. It's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Okay? It's not proper to take the children of Israel's bread, the gospel, the message he came to bring to his own, and his own, of course, received him not, and give it to dogs, implying she was a dog. She was considered to be a dog. That doesn't mean he was calling her a dog, but he recognized that's how everybody looked upon her. And again, it's as though the Lord continues to put her off. You know, he does this about three times. He doesn't answer her, and then a couple of times he speaks in a way that he's not going to hear her. He put her off. He delayed the answer. Of course, what's he doing? He's showing those around him what true love is all about. He is using her to teach his disciples and others, this is what love is. This is what faith is. This is where you need to be. And he uses a woman of Canaan to teach that. They would send her away, but he will test her faith and prove her faith. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various temptations and trials, James 1. Count it all joy, and we will fall into trials. And then verse 27, after he says, it's not right to give it to dogs, and she said, truth, Lord, that's true. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Lord, I know all I need is a crumb from you. That's all I need. This woman will not be deterred. She will not quit believing. I'm sorry, I just now realized I didn't turn my mic on. Okay, I backed up. I thought, okay, this mic will pick me up. I'm really, Mother's Day just got me, I'm just so excited about it. And I told my wife, I'm going to find something. The flowers are going to go on sale later, like tomorrow, and we'll find some then. So, and then I felt guilty about that. That's been on my mind. You got to understand what I go through sometimes. But the dogs eat the crumbs. She's not going to be deterred. She will not quit believing, no matter that the waves seem to keep pushing her out to sea. She's going to get to the shore no matter what. That's where we need to be. And so she admits it. Yes, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm a nobody. But even the dogs, even the nobodies, eat the crumbs. And a crumb from you is all I need to save my little girl. That's all I need, Lord. What an amazing faith that is on display for everybody to see. And it's so amazing that it brings this response that we've already known from the lips of Jesus, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Just like that, he healed her. What a blessing for her. To receive this kind of commendation from God himself is astounding. Jesus Christ did not say, or Jesus Christ said, great is thy faith, to just a few people, very few, that we have recorded in Scripture. And this Canaanite woman is one of them. And I'm here to tell you, you too can be just like her. You can be a woman of faith as well that will not stop, not be discouraged, not be deterred. And yet we are. What hinders you now? Is a lack of faith, isn't it? You're not believing. You're not trusting. You're not reading the Word. You're not praying. Why will you not simply believe His Word, His promise to you? God was delighted and gladly, immediately responded to her faith by miraculously healing her daughter. We may not see a miracle like that, but there are miracles nonetheless that God will bring into our lives by His grace as we trust Him. So, number one, we see a woman's persevering faith. A woman's persevering faith. Number two, a woman's delayed faith. Look at Hebrews 11. A woman's delayed faith. We're going to turn to Hebrews 11. I know that when we think of great faith, we think of the great men of faith. We think of the heroes of faith and the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. In verse 1, of course, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. And great men were great because by faith they pleased Him. And we have all of these men listed in Hebrews 11. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. But suddenly we read in verse 11, through faith also Sarah. Wow, Sarah, a woman, is here in the great hall of faith, the heroes of faith. By faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Turn to Genesis 18. Sarah had a miracle baby, Isaac, who would be the seed of promise, through whom would come the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know how that faith came about, because it didn't seem to start with faith in Sarah's life, but rather doubt and skepticism. Notice in Genesis 18, 11 to 15, when the Lord told Sarah that she would have a son in verse 10, in her old age, she was 90. She was 90 years old when God told her she's going to have a baby. And what'd she do? She laughed. She laughed at the thought of it, verse 12. And she revealed that she knew it would be an impossibility, and it can only be by a miracle of God. And the God of miracles responded in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Implying that Sarah thought it would be too hard. "I can't have a baby. You're not going to give me a baby." So she laughed about it. And Sarah even denied that she laughed in verse 15, but God knew better. And yet, what's amazing to me, in spite of her doubts and deceit and denial, she is called in Hebrews 11 a woman of faith. When the time actually came to give birth to her son, who was named Laughter, Isaac meant laughter, or he laughs. He laughs. But we read in Hebrews 11:11, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful that had promised. She considered God faithful. God would give her a child, and she had faith in the end. You see? Through faith, she received strength. And I believe her faith came about by hearing the word of the Lord, by hearing the words of God. Her initial reaction was not faith, but she came around to believe, and that's what God honored by listing her among all the men of faith. Now, you and I doubt, and we fret, and we get distressed about many things, but in the end, we know we must trust God, and we do in the end, right? You do in the end. You don't always start out that way. You go, "Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, it's all over. I can't handle this. It's a mess. I'm a mess, and I just as well give it all up," right? But you don't stay there. You don't stay in the basement. You come up, you go upstairs, and you get on the roof, and you say, "Praise the Lord. He is so good. He's going to bring me through this. He has a plan in all of this." She came around. And she trusted him. And God sees that, and he is well pleased. She didn't believe at first, but she must have come around to believe and even rejoice and laugh some more. Look at Genesis 21. She ends up laughing again, but this time her laughter is not the laughter of unbelief. It's a laughter of joy, I think. Verse 1 of Genesis 21, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him." And verse 6, "And Sarah said, God hath made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." And she just kept laughing and laughing and laughing all the way to where she had the baby, I believe. See, by faith, Sarah bore the son of promise, the son named Laughter. And here we see that her faith, though delayed, now rested in the God who promised. Verse 6, "God hath made me to laugh." She first laughed in unbelief, but now she laughs in faith. It's a laughter at that which seems absolutely incredulous or incredible. It's a laughter at the incredible. It's this kind of faith now that says to others, "Can you believe it? Can you believe how funny this all is? That that a 90-year-old woman would have a baby, it was a laughter of joy. It was a laughter of just, wow, God is so amazing that he's done this in my life. And so by faith, she conceived and was delivered of a child because she judged him faithful who had promised. She considered God to be faithful. He had promised, and the fulfilling of his promise to her was not dependent on her faith. He would do it now, and she is believing what he is doing. You see, you can be a woman of faith. We see a woman's persevering faith, a woman's delayed faith, and thirdly, we see a woman's sacrificial faith. Hannah, 1 Samuel 1, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Samuel 1, we see Hannah. Now, we're in a period of time in 1 Samuel 1, I'm just coming through the times of the judges of Israel. A time where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The very last verse of Judges, right before 1 Samuel 1, we see that verse. Every man did whatever he wanted to do, what was right in his own eyes. So it was a terrible period of history in the nation of Israel. A time where every man did that was right in his own eyes, Judges 21:25. They were in a vicious cycle of forsaking God and going into idolatry, of then God's punishment of being enslaved to the pagan nations, and then a time of repentance and then deliverance through a judge. But the nation had lost its way, and there was the need for one to lead them to God, one to show them the way of holy living again, of getting right with God. They are lacking a leader, but God is about to provide a man of God named Samuel. Samuel. We know the name Samuel. We have in our Bibles 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, named after Samuel, right? And so God's going to provide a man of God named Samuel, but we aren't going to see Samuel until we meet his mother. His mother has a lot to do with Samuel coming into the world, right? Right. His mother, who is responsible for Samuel's entry into this period of time of great need, and who would be the one to pronounce, Samuel would then be the one to pronounce judgment upon Saul. He would anoint Saul as king, and then pronounce judgment upon Saul, and then blessing upon King David, and he would be the one to anoint David as the king to be. And the Spirit of the Lord would come upon David in 1 Samuel 16, 13. Samuel's mother's name was Hannah. Hannah. Hannah was a great woman of faith who prayed. She prayed. She had a need, and she prayed, and God answered her prayer. You see, a true woman of faith is a praying woman. Are you a praying woman? Are you a praying man, husbands, dads, men? Are we praying men? How do we expect our wives, our mothers, our ladies to be praying women if we're not praying men? After all, God expects the men to set the example, to be the leaders in the home. Are you leading your family, men, dads? You're the one to gather the family together and read the Bible and pray. And well, I leave that up to my wife. No, you don't. God puts it on you. And if you're leaving up to your wife, you need to get things right with God. It's up to you. You lead, and our wives will follow. But Hannah was a woman of faith. She was a praying woman, and you can be a praying woman. And she pleased God and honored God greatly by her praying, and God blessed her and answered her. 1 Samuel 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man. And a certain man named Elkanah, verse 2, he had two wives. One was Hannah, the other Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 5, but the Lord had shut up her womb. She couldn't have children. God had a lot to do with that. Verse 7, and as he did year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, and she wept and did not eat because she couldn't have a baby. Verse 8, Elkanah the priest said unto her husband, No, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons? Verse 9, Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his hand. He'll be a Nazarite. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And so Eli thought she was drunk. And Hannah told him, no, she's praying. She's praying. In verse 15, the end of the verse, I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord. Verse 17, Eli answered and said, go in peace. God will grant thee thy petition that you've asked of him. Verse 19, and they worship before the Lord. Anyway, it goes on. Verse 20, Hannah conceived, bare a son, and called him Samuel, because I asked him of the Lord. And then she would wait and wean the child, and then take him back to the temple to serve the Lord forever. Verse 22. And verse 28, therefore have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And she worshiped the Lord there. Anyway, so God gives her the baby. She promises to give her son to serve God in the temple. And after she weans him, she gives him to the Lord. She sends him away. Wow. What kind of mother would be able to do that but a woman with great faith? What a woman of faith. A woman of fervent prayers. A woman of sacrificial faith. And her son was a miracle son. And she can have no children, but God answered her prayer and gave her a son of her love. And she loved little Samuel dearly, but she wanted to give him to the service of God. That's what every one of us should want. Lord, take my child, take my son, my daughter, and use them to serve you. Lord, send them to the mission field. What a blessing that would be if they would want to serve God on the mission field. Or if my son would want to be a preacher. Or serve you in full-time Christian service. That's how we ought to be praying. Lord, take my children and use them however you want to, because they're yours, Lord. They're not mine. You've just given them to me on loan. And I'm just to train them to serve you. So use them. Use them. Lord, if you would want to take them to go with Heather Hart to Siberia, send them to Siberia if they be in the center of your will. Or wherever, right? That's hard to do. But it's the best to do is to give them to the Lord in whatever you want for them. And she was willing to sacrifice her little boy. She wanted to give him to the service of God. And what kind of woman would do that or could do that but a woman of sacrificial faith? She loved her son supremely, but you know what? She loved God even more. So much that the very hour she gave her son over to serve God in the temple, we see her worship the Lord there in verse 28. And then her great prayer in 1 Samuel 2, and I wish we could read it all. You go back and read it all, but let me just read a few verses. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel 2, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Remember, she's already given up her little boy. She gave him up. She doesn't have him anymore. And look what she's doing, praising God. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And she goes on and on and on. And in the end, in verse 21, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. What a blessing. God honored and rewarded this woman of great sacrificial faith. God said in 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I will honor. And she honored him, and God honored her, and so he will you and me. Whoso, Psalm 50, verse 23, whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that ordereth conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. She offered praise in the form of her life, and she offered her life. She offered the life of her son, and in so doing, she offered her life, because her life was a sacrifice of praise that God honored during her lifetime, and he recorded it in the pages of Scripture so that we might read it and take heed to it. And in giving us this story of Hannah, God is telling us all about this little-known woman of faith, Hannah. He's bragging on her from heaven. Let me tell you about my servant Hannah. Remember how God spoke and boasted of Job? God could have said the same of Hannah. Hast thou considered my servant Hannah, that there is none like her in all the earth, a perfect and upright woman, one that feareth God and turns away from evil? Yeah, God considered Hannah. We can too. Well, we see a woman of persevering faith, the woman of Canaan, a woman of delayed faith, Sarah, and a woman sacrificial faith, Hannah. And I'll just close with mentioning, I won't preach it, a woman of humble faith, Mary. A woman of humble faith, Mary. Luke 1, 45 to 56. And we see Mary being blessed by giving birth to the Savior, and then her honoring God with her great prayer in Luke 1, 45 to 56. A humble faith, as God had regarded the low estate of his handmaid, as she says in verse 47. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. So such humility, such love that Mary had for her Savior, by the way. She called him her Savior. Well, we can learn from these great women of faith. May God help us to be men and women of faith as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these wonderful examples of people who lived out their faith and honored you by praying, by serving you, by sacrificing so much. Lord, bless us with the message of your word that we see in the lives of these women, that we too can be men and women, boys and girls of great faith as we follow your word. Bless now as we close. Have your way in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.